When I was first in ministry, I had the opportunity to travel to Africa with the church. Went to Liberia and Tanzania for a three-week trip that was life-changing for me. I had experiences that I continue to reflect on to this day, and I was reminded of one of them this week. We were visiting a pastor in Tanzania, and we had to take a Land Rover over dusty roads and rocky roads, muddy, for about 6 hours to get to this very lonesome place, it seemed, out in a desert area, where there was a small mud chapel that was the center point for this congregation. It seemed to be in the middle of nowhere. After we arrived, the pastor had a bell, a huge bell that he rang, and reverberated for miles in the area, and then people would start to walk towards the church. They knew that the Americans were coming that evening, and they wanted to have a dialogue with us. And it took about an hour or more for the place to fill, for people to get there. And in the meantime, we were talking with the pastor, and one of the people of our group asked him, they said, "What difference does it make that you're here? What difference does this church make in this place?" And the pastor thought for a minute, and then he said, "We do funerals." And then he elaborated. He said, "The people that live in this area had no custom for a way to deal with the dead or a way. They were afraid. If someone dies, they burn the house that the person has died in. And that if anyone touches the dead, they are contaminated and shunned then for a period of time after the loss of a loved one. As the church," he said, "we show by our actions that we are not afraid. We go to the bodies, we tend them. We have a procession with the bodies for all to see. We bury the bodies and we celebrate the life of God who is victorious over death. We show them that Jesus brings new life even in death." Now, I must admit that I was not impressed at that time with his answer, really. I was hoping for some dramatic program of ministry. I was in Africa, after all, you know. But over the years, I have reflected on that simple response, and I've begun to see how profound and how important it was. For I've seen what a treacherous thing grief is. It can lead us to insanity, crazy, and despair. It can take us far from God, in confusion and anger. Yet it also has the possibility to take us to new paths that are life-giving and meaningful. And sometimes it takes us in both places. And so begins my exploration on this day of All Saints. For it is a unique thing in this culture to pay attention to grief. Personal grief and corporate grief. It is because of the witness of our faith that we do it. Not because we love doing it. Because our faith does not fear to look into death, to face into it. Because we look at death in light of the resurrection. In light of the resurrection, death is a beginning. And in this lens, that Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again, this is the lens through which we see the world. All of us bear grief. And probably more often than not, our experience of loss is intimately connected to our relationship with God. As I said, loss can take us closer to God or very far away. Let's take the look at the gospel for today, the story from John. For Jesus comes to the people who are mourning the loss of Lazarus, and he's met by Mary, and the very first words that he's met by are, "Lord, if you had been here, he wouldn't have died." And then later the crowd murmurs against him. Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind, couldn't he have kept this man from dying? You see, in our hearts of hearts think that the one sent from God should prevent death. That God should prevent death. Their expressions reveal the anger and the sense of unfairness that we have in loss. Did we deserve this? Did we bring it on ourselves? There's always guilt and shame connected to loss. And then, what kind of a God is this? A God who lets death happen? What kind of a love is this? A love that lets death happen? We throw God away. We distance ourselves in anger and bitterness. We all know Mary's question, and we know it well. But let's see more to the story. For Jesus is not deterred by the anger. You notice that? He doesn't turn away. He walks in the midst of the grieving people. He stands with the people mourning, and he weeps with them. He joins them in the overwhelming sadness that loss brings. And the texts tell us that he is greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. Later, when he comes to the tomb, he's again greatly disturbed. You see, death brings disruption. Death disrupts life in every way. When a person we love dies and is gone, life has to be reordered, recreated. We have to recalculate and renegotiate who we are and where we're going. But note that this word of disturbance is also used at the time of creation, when the waters of creation are disturbed by God in order to bring about the new world. So as Jesus stands with the people, weeping and greatly disturbed by this loss, how does he respond? He faces into it. He goes towards it. He calls out to God and invites God's power. He calls out the name of Lazarus. Come out. He goes closer and deeper into the experience of death, even to its stink. And he commands the stone to be taken away. He calls for life in this treacherous, disturbing time. Jesus holds on to life and love. He does not give up on it. He calls it to reveal itself. He calls it to come forth and to be let go. He calls on the power of God's life and love to be unloosed and set free. What is set free here? What is released? Fear is released. Jesus acts in the power of trust that God has a life that defeats death, and this God dwells with us. This is the power of grace, that God frees us from the bonds of death and liberates us for love in this world. In this crazy, broken, disturbed world, love continues to be. Jesus shows courage, does he not? The courage of faith to release the stink of death. The courage of faith to trust in life and love when he does not see it before his eyes. Eventually, in John's gospel, this leads to the death of Jesus himself. For his enemies, this is the last straw that he does this. And it is Jesus' act of courage and faith as he is taken into death to trust in the resurrection power of God to win the struggle and have life and love prevail. And this story is our story as people of Christ. It is what shapes us as a people who are longing to be in Christ, longing to find the life that truly is life, the heaven that we hope for here and now and to eternity. In these words, we are shaped in faith to be facing into death with the hope and expectation of God's life and love. Anew. And so we gather again, as we do in an ordinary way, perhaps each day of each year on All Saints' Day. Each year we name the names of those who have died. Each year we grieve once more. Each year we sorrow. As we are called out to life, unbound by fear and freed by love. What does it mean for us this year as a congregation in this interim time. For this story of life's victory is not only for us as individuals, but for us as the church together. I've only been here briefly, but I know many of you have singular griefs that have disturbed and reshaped your lives. But I also observe corporate losses. As we're beginning this process of the congregation timeline, we'll be looking at these significant events, disturbing and turning events in the life of this congregation. One of the first ones I heard about that was named to be was the loss of a Pastor Ellison, who died in the narthex one Wednesday night after leading worship. What sadness this loss still causes, and what a disturbance, and I wonder how it reshaped the congregation's life. Another significant loss was when Pastor Rick was diagnosed with cancer, and an important leader in your life, Bob Patterson, died suddenly. These losses brought deep grief and disturbance. And another significant event in recent history has been the closing of Resurrection Lutheran Church. Many of you have known the loss of a precious community of faith, and you've experienced great disturbance as well as some new life. I wonder how this loss has shaped the Holy Shepherd congregation, as well as giving it life-giving ways. And then, it's been almost a year since Pastor Rick Thompson said his goodbye. What disturbance has this caused? How have you seen God moving in your midst? You see, this is a day to remember what we are here for and to reattach to the amazing message that God wipes our tears, dwells with us in our pain, and also stands to confront death with the power of love and life. This is a day to face into the hard things when we have the safety of community, the patterns we're familiar with, the comfort of communion, and the soothing power of poetry and song. Jesus is greatly disturbed. He weeps with us. He dwells with us. And then he prays to God and calls out the names of the dead, calls the community to unbind them and let them go. For the life and love of God prevails. This is our story. May we have the courage to face into the losses that so disturb our lives. May we have the courage to unbind and let go of the death that has a hold on us and trust in the future that God has for us, unbound and freely given. Thanks be to God. Amen.